Enes Kanter and Steven Adams, that'll be a matchup to watch tonight. And if you look at Eric Horn's Twitter feed, he is the beat reporter that covers the Thunder for the Oklahoman. And you should be following Eric Horn. You would have saw this video he posted just a little bit ago.
I mean, yeah, there's time, but I don't want to. So, yeah.
You said y'all didn't talk much.
Steven Adams today at Shootaround saying if there's any free time between games, would he hang out with Enes Kanter? Yeah, there's time, but I don't want to. Eric Horn of the Oklahoman joining us now. How are you, Eric?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me, John.
Let me know. Let's start with the city of Portland. What do you think of this city, first of all? Just lay it on us.
Oh, it's fun. It's really different, and I mean that in a good way, because I'm a guy who grew up in Louisiana, and it actually kind of reminds me of New Orleans in a way, where it's like, you know, on a river, really green, kind of counterculture in a sense. So it kind of reminds me of back home, but it's very different than Oklahoma City in terms of just sensibilities and just style.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a diversion of what I'm used to day to day.
Yeah.
And I think it makes for like a unique experience when you kind of come into it for a couple of days. When I was here on the first night of a back-to-back for the first time last year, I didn't get a good sense of it, but being here for the past few days, I really like it, man. It's a really cool experience.
We're talking to Eric Horn of the Oklahoma, and he covers the Thunder. That Steven Adams, Enes Kanter thing, it looked early on like Steven Adams was going to have his way, and then Thunder just kind of got away from the pick and roll, started shooting more threes, and Kanter got comfortable. How do you think that plays out in game two?
Well, I don't think the Thunder is going to go 5 of 33 from three, first of all. They got great looks, and they're going to make some of those. Look, the thing with Kanter has always been, you can play Kanter. The whole can't play Kanter thing with Billy Donovan a few years ago, I think, got overblown, because the key with Kanter isn't so much the defense. He's going to give up points regardless. The key is him being able to cancel out what he's giving up on offense.
Yeah.
He got six points all on putbacks. His first 6 points came on putbacks, and Steven Adams wasn't on him on any of those plays. The way the Thunder schemes defensively, Adams is going to play high in that pick and roll. He's going to try and stop the 3-point shot along with the guard, and that's going to leave your defensive backboard vulnerable. So Kanter can take advantage of that, and he did in the first matchup. And then Steven Adams just got to be better at the point of attack. You know, Kanter drove at him for that big bucket at the end of the game. Steven Adams got to be better in those one-on-one situations. So I think it's going to be a little bit tougher for Enes Kanter this time around. I wouldn't expect him to go off for 20 and 18. I think he'll still be effective, but I don't think he'll be that effective. And I think the Thunder will make more threes. And I think that this will be a game that, you know, probably come down to the last few possessions, like it has with every single game between these teams all year. They're really evenly matched, and they just battle each other.
I really like Russell Westbrook. I like the competitor in him. I see him as the spirit animal of that team, and I want to like him, but he looked tentative early. What was going on? Why was he not shooting? Was that the game plan? What was going on early?
Well, I actually thought he had a really good game. He took what the defense was giving him in terms of, you know, they played Kanter so deep in that drop on him.
Yeah.
Basically just keeping him on Adams to prevent those lobs, that Russell was able to walk into a bunch of layups. And that's what he's got to do. They want Russell to pull up from mid-range. They want Russell to take those threes because he's not a good shooter. He's having the worst volume shooting season in probably NBA history. So Russell's got to continue to do that. He's got to continue to spray the ball around, get guys quality shots, which he did a couple nights ago. It's just, you know, Dennis Schroeder goes 0-7 from three. Jeremy Grant goes 0-3. Jeremy Grant's been a 40% three-point shooter this year. Paul George goes 4-15. He's a guy who shot 38% this year. So I think Russell Westbrook played about as good of a game as you can possibly play. Aside from his 3-point shooting, which was 0-4, you know, he was 8-13 from the field.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't ask much more from Russell Westbrook in that.
I guess what I thought is when the game started, I was looking for him to assert himself a little more, and you're right. He was just sort of going, he was playing a smarter game than I wanted him to play.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's when the Thunder kind of gets out of their element, is when Westbrook starts jacking those off-the-dribble threes. He's not Damian Lillard in that regard. They play different. They play different styles, and Russell's the best when he's getting to the rim. He's getting free throws, which he shot 8 of 8 from the line. He played an efficient game, and they made Steven Adams a point of emphasis early last game, and I thought that was a good play. Their problem was they couldn't defend the three-point line in the first quarter, and they got dominated on the glass because Kanter was just bullying them. But from that point on, you know, the Thunder was pretty good defensively, and they got control of the glass, and that's how they were able to come back from 19 down.
Paul George, you believe that everything's okay there?
No. but look, they can't say anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do at this point? The guy's going to play through whatever's going on. I have no inside knowledge of how severe that injury is, but like, this is something that's been going on for a solid, probably the beginning of March. So that would make it a month and a half that this has been going on. I would not be surprised. And again, I say this with no knowledge of what is the severity of the injury, but it seems like one of those situations where it's inevitable that after the season, we're going to find out this guy needs to go have some kind of surgery. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but it keeps reoccurring. It seems like a situation where he's good one day, he takes one knock, he gets re-aggravated. So, yeah, he's in trouble. And the Thunder's in trouble because Paul George is a big reason that they've been so successful against the Blazers this season. The guy averaged 38 points and 15 free throw attempts against the Blazers in the regular season. So he's got to be better. You know, whether that's getting to the line more, whether that's just being a little bit more proficient from three-point range, he's a guy that they need, man, because they're not going to get out of this series without him.
We're talking to Eric Horn of the Oklahoma, and he covers the Thunder. Eric, the first quarter, the Blazers had to feel really good. They score 39, but then I look at this game and I go, look, Oklahoma City was in this game late, and despite shooting so badly, if they just knock down two or three shots, it's probably their game. Are they spinning that positive that way? Are they taking that approach?
I think so. They never really panicked. They're not a team that overreacts to much of anything, and that can be good and bad because it kind of lulls you into a false sense of security. But at the same time, when you're facing adversity, you don't go making drastic overhauls. And that's kind of what I wrote for today in the Oklahoman, is that, look, this team just needs to control the glass, which is one of their strengths, and they need to just shoot it a little bit better and be a little bit more mindful of closing out on shooters. They can't afford to get down 7 of 10 from 3 or allow that from Lillard and McCollum in a first quarter. That first quarter doomed them because they're not a team that can, you know, storm back with a bunch of three-pointers and cut leads very quickly. It takes time. But the way that they did, you know, getting back to their defensive principles, getting control of the glass, I think speaks well to kind of the maturity of this team. And I frankly came away with that game with a lot of optimism from that standpoint. Now, the Blazers missed a lot of open shots too, but I think the Thunder are going to make more shots in this game.
The X factor when you look at Portland's lineup, is there something Oklahoma City will leave game one? I guess aside from Kanter, is there something they leave game one going, hey, we've got to do this better on the defensive end of the floor?
Well, I think I kind of spoke to it. You know, closing out on three-point shooters, I don't think you can get too tight with Dame. You know, 4 of his 5 three-pointers he made were from 28 feet or deeper. I just don't know how much closer you can really guard a guy in that situation.
Yeah.
He'd be standing 30 feet from the rim. I mean, you could put a hand up, but you don't want to be all in his shirt because he's just going to drive by you. So I think they did a pretty good job on the three-point line other than that first quarter. The key is the glass. They got to control the defensive glass. And whether that's guys rotating over and putting a couple of bodies on Kanter early in the first quarter, whether that's Steven Adams, you know, coming back quicker off of that pick-and-roll defense to get back and get a body on Kanter, which is going to be tough because they like to use him high. They like to put Steven Adams high up on that three-point shooter. They just got to get control of the glass more than anything because there's going to be rebounds to be had if Dame's pulling up from 30. So that's going to be big for the Thunder. They just got to get control of the defensive glass again because that's when they can start their transition offense, get out on fast break. And, look, they were 4-12 on the fast break last game. That's not good enough. So if they're controlling the defensive glass, they can get better opportunities.
We're talking to Eric Horn of the Oklahoman. Eric, I was somewhere where I wasn't supposed to be after the game. I tried to take a shortcut down to the media room, and I ended up right outside the visiting locker room as the Thunder are coming in. And here comes Russell leading the way, and Paul George with his arm around Russell's shoulder. And literally, he's very softly whispering in Russell's ear, telling him, "We're good, we're good." Which one of those guys is the leader of this team? Like, where is this team getting its leadership?
Well, if you look at leadership in two different ways. When Paul George is on, this team is really hard to beat because he masks a lot of the Thunder's deficiencies in terms of shooting because he can be such an efficient offensive player. And look, when he's on defensively, this team is a different team too. He was a defensive player of the year candidate, but the pulse and heart of the team, this goes back even to Kevin Durant, was Russell Westbrook. And I think that's why I'm so optimistic about this team. I don't know if they're going to win the series. I still pick the Blazers in seven. But I think you're going to get some mature performances from this team and some resolve that could give them a chance to win game two, because Russell Westbrook was, I thought, really good in game one and played a good controlled game. Remember, there were some times where Westbrook, you know, he could have lost it. He committed a couple of offensive fouls in about three possessions, and that's a situation where you usually see him kind of, you know, get like pop off and get a tech or something like that.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He just got back up and went back down the court. He kind of had that look on his face like he was frustrated, but he didn't pop off and get a tech and cost his team any points. You know, Paul George putting his arm around him like that, that's big because he knows that Westbrook is – the team goes by how Westbrook goes. When he's controlled, when he's, you know, mature and in the moment, the team responds accordingly. And I think that's how you're going to see a team come back and shoot better, because Russell Westbrook's kind of in the zone and he's understanding what they need to do.
All right. This series, we'll head to Oklahoma City after game two. What do I need to do in Oklahoma City? I haven't spent much time there.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Okay, well, I would say you should go down to the Plaza District where they have a bunch of great restaurants. One of my friends, Shelby Sieg, she is the executive chef at the Pritchard.
Okay.
Which is an excellent restaurant in the Plaza District.
I'm in.
And there are a bunch of great restaurants out there in that area, too. I'm not going to say it's Portland-y, but it's more of those kind of, you know, specialty restaurants as opposed to the fast food stuff you get in a lot of your stops. Plaza District off 16th Street, I think that's a good place to start.
All right, I'll do that. I think the series has two cities that are underrated, because I think Portland gets a rap of, oh, it rains here all the time. And I think people knock Oklahoma City. They say, oh, there's nothing to do there. It's like a giant tarmac with tumbleweed. And I kind of like this series because I go, each one, these are small markets. These are teams that play with a chip on their shoulder. It's got a little spunk that way.
Yeah, and Oklahoma City is a city that's getting younger and growing. You know, the downtown area is growing a lot. In both directions, in terms of Bricktown and the Film District, it's a city that, you know, it's getting a little bit more character, and I think, you know, you'll see that in the Plaza District, or you'll see that, you know, in terms of the Paseo and some new restaurants popping up and stuff like that. I always tell people one of the best things to do when you go to Oklahoma City is, besides eat, because you can eat anywhere, but, you know, visiting the Memorial is a big time thing too, because that's just such an important part of the Oklahoma City history, and it's kind of smack dab in the middle of the downtown area. It really gives you perspective about how far this city's come, because, you know, that's really what that city was known for, or Oklahoma City was, you know, tied to till 25 years on with the bombing. And now I hope people give Oklahoma City an opportunity, because it has a lot of character once you get deeper into the city and start to, you know, soak up the food and the culture. I think it's a cool place.
Eric, I appreciate your work, man, and I will see you tonight at the arena.
Sure will. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Eric Horn of the Oklahoman. You can follow him on Twitter, at Eric Horn OK. You can read him at newsoksports.com. He's a go-to there, and a guy that has his finger on the pulse of this team. All right, our big splash is coming up. We'll talk some college football as well. Plus, we're going to get an in-studio visit that the Eugene market will be excited about. Leave it here.